What if the story of your life wasn't random, but a map pointing you toward your deepest mission? In this week's episode, I'm joined by Kristen Swan, a seasoned guide in spiritual exploration who brings a refreshing sense of groundedness to the mystical path. Kristen has a gift for helping individuals weave together their life experiences into a deeper understanding of mission and purpose. Through her work with both individuals and groups, she invites people into the practice of writing their own spiritual autobiography, a profound way of reflecting on the journey you've lived so far. With grace and humility, Kristen shows us how to ask better questions, shift into solution-oriented thinking, and pay attention to the deeper longings that stir us awake at night. This conversation is a gentle yet powerful reminder that our lives themselves are the sacred text we're here to study. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome, Kristen, to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and we're back for yet another episode. I'd like to say first that Kristen and I met just today for the first time. And I was thinking about how just a couple of weeks ago, I had joined Podmatch to see, okay, like where are some nice matches for Mystical Sisterhood. And I ran across your profile and loved it. And I couldn't help but think that it was sort of like a dating app, which I don't do dating apps, but it's a little bit like swipe, swipe.
Yeah.
And this one seems like a fit. So welcome.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to be here. And I was, yes, as you mentioned, we met through Podmatch, which again, I have not done dating apps. And it feels the way that I describe it to people is it feels like a dating app for pod matching. And I am delighted to be here. And I was so taken with your honesty and the conversations that you were having both on the episodes. So I encourage people to listen to all your episodes and they may have already done that, but the ones where you have other guests and your episodes where you share sometimes spontaneously that are so wonderful. And so I was looking forward to the chance for us to share space together and talk about the truth, right? That we both are kind of, I think, feeling and seeing.
Yeah, I'd agree. Thank you for all those kind words. It means a lot. I don't always get feedback on the podcast. So, you know, sometimes you reach outs, but that really means a lot. And I think that, you know, I had mentioned the word co-creation before we began, before we recorded. And I think that anyone listening, whether they are a man or a woman, but especially for my women listeners who I know are here week in, week out, is that when we come together, you and I, for the first time sitting here today, and we don't need to know a lot, but we know that we both have lived lives that have held many, many experiences that have been beautiful and challenging. And we have gotten through, you know, many ways that maybe we'll even touch upon today. But I think that it comes across in interviewing someone like you, and I'll let the audience know why, you know, you really stood out to me, but is that we all have, you and I and the listeners, a shared humanity. And I think that that's really meaningful and necessary to point out, because there's a lot of things going on in the outside world, but when we can get grounded and really see one another for that humanity, I feel like it's powerful.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And the work that I do, so much of it is based in storytelling. And the way that I think about our stories is, you know, it's foundational to our human experience. Right. And so I think about stories, the stories we tell ourselves, right? There's that bucket, so to speak, of stories. There are the stories that we have inherited or that have been told to us. So we have those. And there's also those stories that we choose to share with others. And that, for me, in this moment, is the space where I want to be sharing in a way that is open and honest and vulnerable and is not, trying to put a certain shine on things, because it is in the, just the mix of going through those highs and lows that we, get through each day, and that we can then invite others into that place of connecting and being real with one another, right? And how healing that can be for both ourselves, right? I mean, I think about when you're kind of holding on to a story that you feel like is not very flattering about yourself, or that is maybe something that you're ashamed of, and how that can eat away at you. And when you are willing to share that story, and that can even be shared in a journaling manner. I'm not necessarily saying you've got to get, on the top of a mountain and scream out your, but that release, how healing it can be for yourself, and then also in the opening up of these experiences that are feeling particularly shameful or hurt us, or that other people, it gives space for other people to say, gosh, I've been there too.
And that's really powerful to be creating spaces for people to tell their stories. I often think, I don't know why, I think it's because possibly my dad spent a while in an independent living for the elderly and then went to assisted living. And going into those spaces, I always thought, like, wow, it would be really neat to go back and collect stories here for the clients who live in these spaces, because I think we're all yearning to be witnessed in our stories. And so I'm picking up from you that this is one of your reasons of offering your work, or reasons of being, is to provide spaces. And so you literally provide physical, even if it's on Zoom, spaces for people. But how do you, and you mentioned writing, can you say a little bit more? Because I loved when I visited your website and you had the spaghetti on the wall, or, and it's really kind of funny, because if anyone goes to Kristen's website, and I really encourage you to do so, is that before we recorded, she said, I don't really like titles. She had named something and she said, I'm not really digging it. But when I went, first of all, you go to your website and it's got the birds, flying, which is just beautiful, very like peaceful and serene of feeling. So I'm giving, giving you that reflection.
Yeah.
You have the section called Spaghetti on the Wall. I know that you have the spiritual autobiography. And there was another one that I wrote down that, I just think that, let's get into that, because I actually think you're quite good at
Yeah.
naming what you're offering. And it's fun too. It's got a playful sense about it. So tell me.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you said that there is a sense of fun, because I love to laugh and I'm not good at telling jokes. I love to watch really serious, dark, particularly foreign language movies and things like that. So, but there is, I do love to laugh. So there's that saying, like, it's okay to be serious, but not to take everything too seriously, right? And I will say, in my workshops, both the Discovering Your Spiritual Autobiography and the other, I do a weekly salon in different seasons, and we laugh a lot. And we're talking about, I mean, we can be talking about very, very serious things, and there are the moments for that. And then we also laugh, because life is, I mean, it gives us a lot of material to laugh about, right? I mean, there's just some real ridiculous moments. And so Spaghetti on the Wall really is, it's a journal that I had put together back when I was coaching, more business coaching one-on-one, and I was observing my clients, and I was watching in particular patterns. I was noticing patterns of behavior, and especially because the results were things that my clients were saying they didn't want to happen. Like they didn't like this result. And so Spaghetti on the Wall is a prompted journal. It's a great journal for people who are super busy, who are type A, they think journaling is probably good for them, but they don't like the idea of it. So it's got prompts. I mean, it honestly takes you about 15 minutes max a day. And the goal was to help people develop a habit of discernment, meaning an awareness, right, around patterns, around behaviors that they had. And because I think I'm never in the business of changing people. I am in the business of creating tools and spaces for people to gain some awareness. And when I think about my own journey and I think about Spaghetti on the Wall and I think about the workshops that I offer, taking time to sit with yourself, getting to know yourself, right? And from there, I feel like for me, at least, the journey has been, you know, you have to start with some curiosity. That's kind of something that I can't deliver that to you, but you'd start with some curiosity, you get to know yourself, then you can start to really trust yourself, right? And then when we're trusting ourselves and we're listening to ourselves and we're trusting, and we touched on this kind of before we were recording, like, we have so much information and so much wisdom. And with all this noise and the busyness and that and everything, it's so easy to ignore that. So even if you have kind of a practice of awareness, it's easy to ignore it. But then if you haven't really taken the time to get to know yourself, so then learning to trust yourself. And I think what ends up happening when you start operating more from that space, you do less harm. You do less harm to yourself because you're making choices that are actually in alignment with yourself. You do less harm to others. And it really can reduce, you know, it can reduce stress. It can reduce, I mean, it can bring so much more in making those choices that are in integrity with yourself or in alignment with yourself. You really bring so much more expansiveness and so much more joy, or the possibility for that.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. It's a great explanation and an invitation to take. I think the point you make about creating the time for ourselves, because that's really at the end of the day what it is, right? It's just taking 10 or 15 minutes that's dedicated to yourself. Yeah. And so this beautiful journey that's based on your journey with others. And there is a lot of noise in the world, but by creating those practices, it seems like we invite that silence on the outside and then to go to the inner quiet. And what you're saying is, like, because you've seen it with yourself and you've seen it in practice, that those are the steps that lead to the joy and the expansion. And back to you talking about, like, oh, I'm glad you mentioned the playfulness and that aspect of it. Is that when you say that there's a spontaneity deficit, is that tied into that at all? Because I knew that that was a concept that you had put out there. Do we have a spontaneity deficit going on in our culture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I feel so strongly that particularly with the attention economy that we all participate in, right? Just the massive amounts of information that we are being subjected to on a daily basis. And even if we, you know, put our phones away, and I mean, this came home to me one day when I was filling up my car at the gas station, and, you know, the pump has a screen that was just screaming at me about something I needed to buy or the weather or something. And, you know, there was no way to turn that off. Or when I was taking the bus the other day, there was a screen now on the bus. And so there's that, which this bombardment of noise, essentially, which I think in some ways really can numb us. And the other piece of that spontaneity deficit is the wonderful ways that we are able to you know, whether it's access things, you know, to buy groceries on the internet and have them delivered, right? Or we are able to watch different content, right? And so we can stream or we can listen to music on demand. But again, all of that has made for a very individualized experience that where we can, you know, we can control. I mean, the going to the music one, I mean, I used to listen to the radio a lot more. And I mean, yeah, you could call in at one point. I'm dating myself and put in your request and cross your fingers that it was gonna happen. But like the spontaneity of hearing a new song, right? It's instead it's I go to my phone and it's all, you know, curated for me. And so that's why I love having in-person workshops. That's why I love still going to the grocery store. That's why I love going to the post office. That's why I love saying yes to things that sometimes I don't know if they're, you know, I'm going to go hear a lecture next week. And it kind of sounded interesting enough. I mean, you just have to have a modicum of curiosity about something. And I know I'll go and it'll be great because I'll probably learn something new and I'll maybe run into some, I'll meet somebody new, but just putting yourself in these positions or these instances where not everything is controlled really allows for these magical moments to happen,
Yeah,
right?
I'm glad you brought up the magic because the magic is more likely to happen when we have
Yes.
interactions or we open our eyes to a synchronicity we're meant to see. Or, gosh, 9 times out of 10, I feel like you're going to run into someone you know, and it was unexpected. So yeah,
Yeah.
so to me, it's like you're saying, like, what are we actively creating in our lives in a sense? And I feel like only knowing your work a little bit, I feel like you are forward moving or focused in a sense, probably honoring a present moment, but forward moving because you're also asking questions around the way that we look at the world. And this is kind of shifting gears a little bit, but when we're presented with something that we might traditionally say, like, ugh, like, why is that here again? Or this problem, and we can get mired in it. We can go into an old pattern. And you know, you had mentioned like loving to look at things that pop up in our lives as, okay, this here is this, tell us how you think of that, and then how can we move towards more of a solution-oriented approach to the ways we respond to what's happening in our lives.
Right. So I am always thinking a lot about both from my own experience and watching my own patterns and my own kind of reactivity to things, right? Which is essentially kind of in simple terms, usually a repetition of a pattern for me, right? Whereas if I can be responding to something that allows, I think that in my way of thinking and in my experience, when I am more in a responsive space, I am allowing for there to be a world of possibility, right? That I don't necessarily have all the data points for. And I mean, one of the things I am very forward thinking and moving, and I think we have, and it's a very common thing within these podcast conversations to reflect on what we've learned from our failures, right? That a lot of times we will kind of mine from our past to think about what were those kind of those big moments that we learned from. And, you know, I think it's very, we all can, failure is something that is a something that I think we've all had in some way or another. So we can, it's very relatable. So I think that's why it ends up being such a common topic. And so it's very relatable. And I used to do this. I used to, when I was faced with a challenge or difficult situation, I would think, oh gosh, okay, well, what's the kind of, I guess it's called, some people have called it like fear setting, right? It's like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And boy, I mean, Whew, if you do that, it's like you can just go running in deep into what the worst things are that happen, right? And you've got all sorts of memories around that, and a lot of times those memories can even just bring up the feelings of what you felt like in that moment that the worst thing happened. And essentially, so I would do that thing, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And really, at the end of the day, I felt like what I was really asking myself is this thing that I'm trying to figure out, is it going to kill me? I mean, that's kind of like most of the time, no. And I don't remember really what was the moment when I realized that it was like, well, gosh, what about if, what does it look like if I say, what's the best thing that can happen? If all of our, if every, if there's this duality that exists, then what's the best thing that can happen? And I think it's funny because that one is a lot harder, right? Because then you've just stepped into, again, this realm of possibility, right? This expansiveness and this place for magic, for spontaneity, right? For synchronicity. And it really, I think part of the reason why it's hard for us is because, at least in my brain, it is sometimes my brain is just limited to what my experience has been. And even if I've read about something, so I mean, maybe I can kind of like push my brain a little bit to take into account, something that someone else has described that they experienced, or I've seen it on some sort of content, but it's really hard. And you're also stepping in when you're saying, gosh, I'm going to think about what the best possible outcome is. For me, that requires a bit of a leap of faith, because I am essentially saying, I don't know.
You also suspend the needing to know, and it is a free fall into allowance. And I believe, like how you're saying, it's just the loop of what you've experienced in the past is the what you draw from. And then so often, if we look to outside sources, the reason we have the loop is because in the collective, that's what's existing. And so you're literally rewriting. And I remember a couple things when I went through my health, journey a few years back. People would say, like most people, if they get a diagnosis, they put diagnosis and prognosis. And I always heard a beautiful one that said, believe the diagnosis, not the prognosis, which was a great phrase too. But it's that they look for a prognosis instead of what the malady is, success stories. And so, it's like training, like, what's the question? You're asking, like, what's the best thing that could happen? And that's a really, really cool angle to come from. And I was going to say, back to making space for ourselves and something through like the journaling process and taking the time and listening and getting to know yourself better and better. It's been my experience that when you do that, and also you begin to look at your experiences with compassion, and it opens you up so much that when you go to these sort of like problems in life, you are coming from a much more expansive place just because I think it's because your heart is more open. You're understanding yourself maybe from a higher perspective, and there's just like all these different components to it. But I mean, that's why I always encourage someone to stay the path, because these riches or the gold will unfold. It's just almost like a mathematical equation that's meant to be. I'm throwing spaghetti at the wall right now, but
Yeah, no, I agree. I really love how you are pulling this together. And to go back to your point of the power of reflection, time to reflect with yourself, and journaling, is that in fact, if you do look back, I think across your life, there will be so many moments where the outcome of something ended up being kind of this wonderful thing that you did not see coming
No.
if you go back there,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
And we actually can do use those use our past experience to also support this hypothesis that the best case scenario is out there waiting for
Yes.
us.
And I mean, not everyone is a journaler, but a journal can be such a neat place. Like, even if you take the notes, I know it's better to write it by hand, but online, because you see where you were. Like, we can remember where we were 3 months ago or 6 months ago. And one of my formative teachers, Susie Lula, oh, she calls it keeping current. And it's a way to ask yourself, where am I now? And it's a little bit a barometer to where you've come from. And I mean, we're all doing that work where it's like not a linear path, but we are invited on that journey of awakening. So, and it's, and when we do that, we can also look back and have a lot of appreciation, like, wow, look what I've transcended. Look what I've gotten through. Just all the things that are markers of our lives. So I love that.
Yeah, there was a woman that I get her daily creative thought. I can't remember what it's called. Her name is Sam Bennett, but today was to think about where you were a year ago today. And I know for so many people, September, we're talking on September 11th. So that is, I just want to honor what this is a day for so many people that has very, very painful and traumatic associations. And each of us, if we were to say, whenever you may be listening to this, I would invite you to what were you doing a year ago? And I had to stop and think. And so I reflected on a year ago, and a year ago was actually a very, it's interesting because it was a very happy moment. We were visiting with family, and I had been thinking about this work, this discovering your spiritual autobiography. It was percolating a year ago because it was work that I had done, decades ago, and I thought, yeah, I want to bring this forth in a new way, or in a way that speaks to me, at least right now. And so then, even to see where I am in this place, is like, wow, this is a lot has happened in a year.
It's amazing. And that, I think, too, is inspiration. We're all on these different parts and these timelines, all the different paths we can go. And yet, if I believe, women to women, it's when we can really just see what someone else is up to. I think that there's a real call for that, where it's something that you were saying earlier reminded me of moving out of any, I think it was maybe pre-recording, but moving out of the way we were conditioned to think that we were each other's competition. And to think, like, if you and I had Venn diagram on what we did, that meant what we might not be talking today. We shouldn't, right? Because you might threaten my existence. And that was never the truth. That's like, it's not true at all.
No.
We're really awakening to that. And it's like, it makes me think of my mom. And she was a person, I believe, who isolated herself in many ways. She raised six children and she grew up pretty isolated. And so it was a pattern. And then she would go out with her girlfriends. You know what she'd say when she'd come home? Oh, she was over the moon, because she'd say, oh my gosh, that was the best afternoon I've had. And they spent like 3 or 4 hours at this long lunch. And she enjoyed it so much. And then I think she'd find those ways to retreat, or, but they were both, I think, born of her childhood and born of conditioning. And I think that looking at that generation, we can see that a little bit more. So just like that honoring of, like, oh wow, look at where Kristen was a year ago. Like, oh my gosh, let's just put that on a pedestal and just celebrate one another, and celebrate the beauty of the work coming forth in the world. The more of this kind of work there is, the more we need. We have, I think, at last count, somewhere around 8 billion on our planet. I think we, you
Exactly. Yes.
know, and we both know that the coaching world can feel at times like, oh, it's like, it can feel like, okay, I'm going up a mountain, but it's needed in the world, and and people are listening. So I think that's beautiful. And do you want to say more about
Well,
discovering?
I want to say I want to say something about the I do want to talk about the power of women coming together. And we hear a lot about the epidemic of loneliness, right? That we're seeing in our society. And a lot of times we're hearing more about kind of younger people who are suffering from this. We hear a lot about young men, and I definitely feel like I have sons who are young adults, and I think that I definitely see truth to that. And I think for so many women, there is a real loneliness or a lack of authentic is kind of one of those overused words, but authentic connection. And I think it can be overlooked because for many women that I know, and I think that you probably can think of similar women, super high achieving, super busy, you know, they have a profession aside from the taking kind of being the main person in their family. You know, I still have parents that are alive and I have these young adult children. So that sandwich generation, I guess it's called. And so we can kind of legitimately isolate ourselves in a way because we are filling all these different roles. And they're all we get lots of social affirmation that we're the good daughter or the good parent or the good community member. So there's a lot that will kind of sustain us from that. And there is this real beauty in and I say this for myself, when I can allow myself to relax and just be with a friend of mine, you know, a girlfriend, or even in a group that I may not know that well, when I am willing to kind of shed my shell and be, it is, I mean, we've used the word magic quite a bit, but it is magical.
Yeah. It reminds me of it feels like plugging in,
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Not plugging in the sense that you become busier, right? Or more. Right. And there's a groundedness to it too. So I hope that, I think it takes a little bit of courage to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to be the one in the room who, you know, is kind of willing to talk about what's really happening. You know, I'm going to say when, you know, the next time, you know, I, in the group conversation with a group of women and they're like, oh, how's it going? Where'd you, you know, what was, have you gone anywhere or, you know, gone on vacation or something like that? I'll be like, yeah, no. 'Cause you know, I have really been blah, 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 blah. Right. I mean, I am going to be willing and again, not to be the wet blanket, but just to be like, yeah, no, just really, you know, been busy, you know, doing life and it's, you know, there's been some ups and there's been some downs.
Yes. And to be able to say that and not, I know a younger version of myself would have thought like, oh, I was too heavy or you revealed too much of yourself. And that's dangerous to reveal too much of yourself. Like it was, I think the places inside of me that didn't feel safe yet. And now when we practice, we need the practice, right? Especially you and you shared like how you were a little behind the scenes quieter when you were young. I was the same. And so it's a literal practice of, And I've gotten pretty comfortable with it. And yet, and still, we inherently know which of the spaces feel like they're comfortable or safe enough, right?
Yes.
And it's an interesting thing because even having this podcast, I know that certain podcasters, and I think of women who have, you know, have these bigger podcasts, but they've been very vulnerable about certain parts of their lives. And yet for myself, there's certain parts I won't go into here because, you know, I think for me, one of the reasons why is not because I don't want to be vulnerable, but because, and this is maybe something I'm teasing apart, but because I have a family, there are people connected to me who are also affected by me telling my story. And, you know, I think you and I were talking about what is your truth and what is your, and I think maybe that's just part of my truth, that for me to be in integrity, it has to be like in a, like a really, and it's like you're describing the type of space you're describing, but you know, we watch ourselves, right? And so those are some of the reflections, like even when we look in our own mirrors and be, oh, okay, okay, that's happening. And it might be from a point of integrity. It might be from a point of not there yet. It might be a point of discernment, all the things, but I appreciate what you're saying, because I think that we are all having these experiences now of we're sandwiched between maybe not just two things, many things, all the things.
Yeah.
And getting out feels really good.
It does feel really good. And I, as a mom, and I collectively, we have 5 children, and it isn't, it's interesting that you bring up kind of, and again, back to what I was saying about kind of the sharing or the acknowledging of, you know, some of those more, you know, so to speak, dark places of yourself, and whether it's in a journal or in a more, you know, kind of collective setting, is, I think I am very aware that I want to be telling, I can only tell my story. So I can certainly say my heart is really heavy right now because of a situation with one of my children. And I am not going to feel comfortable telling their story. But I think, again, just to model how we can show up in a way that is, you know, helps kind of the collective, is I can be honest about, you know, I'm struggling right now with some hard feelings about this. And I feel like at times my story has been told by other people, and I don't like that. So I don't want to do that for anyone else. And so that's the other thing with any of my workshops, and especially discovering your spiritual autobiography, we're looking at the past of our life and our kind of collective experiences. And it's interesting because the way that the workshop is, whether it's a one-day retreat or the, you know, where we meet weekly, there's a real, the ultimate end is this spiritual autobiography, which looks different for every single person. And for me, I participate with the class. I mean, it can be different each time, right? Because it's not meant to be, it's the way that is in the writing version of it, it's 1,000 to 1,500 words. So it's a snapshot in this moment. Mm-hmm. And the way that I describe it is that it's a living document.
That's
right?
Neat. Yeah.
And as long as we are still breathing, we essentially have more stories, right? And so it's not meant to be a whole history of, you know, from your conception or wherever you felt like the beginning of yourself began. And the exercises along the way are kind of both I'm always kind of toggling between ways to kind of get out of our judgmental self, right? Because as much as people say that they love to write, like everyone, oh, you know, you'll talk to someone that'll be like, oh, yes, 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 I want to write. Yeah, writing is, you know, then it gets right down to it. And it's like that blank page, whether it's paper or the screen and the cursor blinking at you, is a little intimidating. So a lot of the exercises are kind of, sometimes I have one that it asks you to do a reflection, kind of going through your senses, right? And so just pulling from how did it sound? How did it taste? How did it, you know, that kind of thing. And so I am always playing with ways to get out of that self-judgment and really open up the space for storytelling. And what I love about it is that people are so, I mean, they're really hungry to be seen, as we said, you know, and to feel like they matter somehow, right? And the other thing that I have found so wonderfully, I hadn't really thought about it when I entered into this work, but people are really good at listening too. The participants are very respectful and really seem equally hungry to hear from others.
That must be just a powerful experience to witness. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Very.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, Kristen, as we kind of like round out the interview here, I don't know, you know, obviously it's an introduction to your work and to your brilliance. And is there anything I typically ask coming to your mind that we left out or you feel is just meaningful in the moment to impart upon the listener? I don't know if anything's coming to mind.
Yeah, I think the thing that I would just reiterate, because I think that as much as we hear this, it's difficult to believe it, and then it's difficult to embody on a kind of a day-to-day basis, is the knowing and trusting of yourself, and really the trusting of how much you actually know, and that it is what you know is the, I guess the next piece of that is that what you know is also valid, and that you can trust yourself, and when you are acting from that place, you're not hurting someone else. It's not at someone else's expense, really, because we are all, you know, meant to be our unique selves. And I love, I'll just, there was a conference I went to, and it was related to school administration. And, but this gentleman who spoke, he talked about a tapestry and how wonderful a tapestry is, because when you move back, you have this cohesive image that's been, whether it's a still life or whatever it is, but you have this cohesive image. And the beauty of a tapestry is when you go in close and the wonderful nature of each thread. And that's like us, right? I mean, we get to be that wonderful individual thread that then becomes part of this collective, beautiful image together that is working in concert with one another.
Yeah, that's a beautiful image. That was a beautiful parting kind of gift for the audience. And just that reminds me of the whole, like the microcosm and the macrocosm. So the microcosm of our own tapestry, which you are really drawing the threads of people's lives together, both in spiritual of an autobiography and the different offerings you have. So what's your website so people can check out your work? And I just want to say a big thank you too.
Oh gosh. Well, thank you. And my website is kristenswan.com. It's all there, and reach out. I'm always happy to, I love hearing from people. And so check out the website, and thank you for this. This was a real gift.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to the listeners as always. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.